Lord, we stand in awe of you this morning. We stand under the auspices of the blood of Jesus. We ask you to have mercy on us. You know our frames. Lord, you know our downsittings. You know our uprisings. Help our infirmity. Help our infirmity. Touch our hearts. Every heart that has been so hardened, closed out. Father, begin to thaw those hearts again this morning. That the reality of our fellowship with you will come alive. Even these next few minutes, we're going to go into your word. Let your presence be felt. Let your word be written upon the tablets of our hearts. We thank you. Lord, remove emotions of men from me. Remove anger from my spirit. Let me speak your word with joy. Watch over your word and perform it, Lord. Give us heart that receives and retains the word. In Jesus' name. Capturing the promises of God. Last week we talked about the hindrances to the promises of God. There are more than 7,200 promises in the Bible that God has made available to us. Treasures are hidden in this book that we are doing nothing with. Numbers 23 and 19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Had he spoken, shall he not make it good? Like you see in your bulletin, there's nothing on this side of eternity. There's nothing on the face of earth that is enduring more than the word of God. There is nothing that is more assured than the word of God. The Bible says that everything will pass away, but the word of God will remain. And yet, we are more married to fleeting things, things that will pass away. Paying no attention that will endure forever. How can you benefit from something you never gave yourself to? How can you benefit from it? You didn't give yourself to it. You didn't pay attention to it. And you want to benefit from it. That's stealing. That's stealing. Even the faith you want to claim is still based on that same word. No word, no faith. You can't claim on empty. No. You can't claim. You can't pray on empty. First Timothy 4:16, the Bible says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. Pay attention. Watch yourself. Commit to the word of God. Continue in it. For in doing this, thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear thee. Praise the Lord. Let me repeat something to us here. Please, don't compare Wisdom Assembly with any other church. No, no, no. We are not the same. I don't care if that church has 30,000 people or 1,000,000 people. That's none of my business. I want the people in Wisdom Assembly to be able to sit down with whoever from anywhere And they're asking you, where do you fellowship? Because you are speaking not just like a congregation member. You are speaking not just like a seeker. But you are speaking like the one who has been drenched. You guys speak as though you've been with Jesus. Isn't that what they said about disciples? Pay attention. Position yourself to receive. That's what I'm going to tell you this morning, the next few minutes. How to position yourself to receive. The first thing is the condition of your heart. What is your heart racing after? What is your heart longing for? You know, whatever your heart longs for, you will do anything to grasp it. Hello? Ask men here. When they have a lover somewhere, even if it's 500 miles away, and that one calls on the phone, can you come? My fridge is broken. You see them get into the car and drive 500 miles because that's your lover. And drive because that's where your heart is. The Bible says that where your treasure is, that's where your heart will lie. Remember what I told us last year? If that be the case, why don't you just bring your treasure to where your heart is? Amen? Keep your heart, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. Issues of life. Keep your heart. Satan is looking for your heart. He will barrage you. You know, I talked about distractions last week. I talked about unnecessary battles in the heart. Your thoughts, you are fighting. You are fighting every time in your thinking. And if you don't have the word, Satan overcomes you there. He overcomes you there. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You can come today and say, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and personal Savior. And you receive him. And your spirit man gets born again. Guess what? Before nightfall, you can lose that salvation. That's why Paul said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, don't be conformed to the world. Be ye what? Transformed. Because I'm born again, my spirit man is born again. I now need transformation of mind so that I don't contaminate my spirit again. Hebrews 10, 35 to 40. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Church folk give up too easily on God. And then we look for other avenues. I was reading the news. A lady, she's an actress or actor, been married for very good number of years. She and her husband, they are divorcing. And she was crying. Said, I still love my husband. And they said, that they have tried in vitro fertilization and it has failed many times. When I was reading it, my heart went out to this woman. I almost started crying for her. Why? I'm like, if only you just turn to Jesus. If only you just turn to Jesus. Amen. If only you and your husband just turn to Jesus. The one who can do all things.
All that money you are wasting and giving doctors for something that is a game of chance. When he's ready to give you, you won't even know when it happened. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Where is your own confidence this morning? On who is your own confidence? On what is your own confidence? Let me tell you something. One of the ways you are going to grow, I preached this message before. You don't even have notes. Where is your note? Where is your sermon note? Where is your note? You are not writing anything. Nothing. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which had great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, how can you do what you don't know, or what you refuse to accept? Ye might receive the promise after you have done the will of God. After you have done the will of God. Don't claim the promise of God without doing the will of God. The instructions are here. After you have done the will of God. After you have done the will of God. The Bible said that after the parents of Jesus have done all they needed to do, then the child grew. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. The just don't run up and down. They live by faith. But if any man draw back, God says, my soul shall not have pleasure in such a person. May that not be your portion. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition. What does this mean? If you draw back, there's only one place to draw back to. Perdition. There's no other place to draw back to. There's no other place. There's no substitute for God. There's no substitute for righteousness. There's no substitute for obedience. You either make it a door, or you struggle and climb it as a wall. It says, but of them that believe in the saving of the soul. Don't lose your confidence in God. He's the only one who still sits on the throne and rules in the affairs of men. The day President Obama was elected as President of the United States of America, everybody applauded him. Change, change we believe in. Change. How many things have been changed? Things have changed from the way we used to know it. But guess what? By the end of this year, it's gone. Now other people are struggling to go there. God ain't going nowhere. God will always be there. When you wake up tomorrow, it will be there. After you have gone, after I have gone, and other people are born, it will still be there. From eternity to eternity, he's still the same. He still sits on that throne. Nobody can unseat him. Today is Sunday now. Some businesses have closed. Amen? God's office has not closed. It's still open. God can change your life today. What you have been believing God for, it can start today. That promotion that you thought, oh wow, nothing is happening, you can receive that email today. It's a Sunday. And you wonder, how can I receive email or promotion on a Sunday? Because God can do anything. The person that will type it, you can wake him up in this morning and say, go to the office. Or type it from your home. Now everybody can do anything from home. In fact, that makes it easier for God, right? If I can say that. Praise the Lord. Jesus said in Mark 11:22, he says, have faith in God. Have faith. Trust God. He's the only one that can fail you. He's the only friend that can betray you. Any other friend can betray you. Anybody else can betray you, but God can't betray you. He can't betray the trust you put in Him. You remember that song? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Hallelujah. It's a reality. Let me tell you something. This word of God is not a storybook. This is life. This is what our lives need to be guided by. You see, the word of God does not, 98% of the time, does not need special interpretation. You just take what it says the way it says it. Amen? And anybody can read it, any version you have. Have faith. Have faith in God. Romans 10:17. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the only way it comes. And fear, foolishness, they come by hearing also. Hearing of gossip, unnecessary news, hearing of things that doesn't concern you, reading gossips of other people's lives, and then I'm watching them. True. You know, some of you buy, you enrich evildoers more than you contribute to your church with the things you use your money to buy and feed on. And you celebrate to those people who are collecting your money. But then you come to church and say, oh, he's wearing a new shoe. It must have been our tithe of last week. I wish. All of you who have those kind of thoughts, let me tell you something. I do not stand here to brag. I don't. All to the glory of God. There's nobody in this church that gives more than myself and my wife in this church. Nobody. Because I know it's the right thing to do. That's how I live. That's how my life is. I don't have any other way of living. That's it. And I can beat my chest on it. Develop your faith in God. Build it up. Build up your faith. Build it. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. How do you please the people you run around with? And yet you never end up pleasing them. They will still find fault in you. They will still tell you didn't do enough. Amen? I don't know how true this story is. But I mean, it came from a reliable person. A man of God was invited to a church in Nigeria. And from America here, he flew to Nigeria. Preached for 1 day or 2 days. Not 24 hours straight, I mean. You know, just preaching his service. And then they gave him an honorarium of $50,000. He looked at it. He said, what is this? Gave it back to the preacher that gave him. He said, there's no honor in that. There's no honor in this. $50,000 is a honorarium. There's no honor in it. And that one is doing everything to please him. A Any day any preacher comes here and does that, I will take that money and I will wave to him. Bye. He will never step here again.
He says, Zerarium. There's no honor in it. And that's how a lot of you do. When you give me something, I look at it. What's this? You know I don't do that. Praise God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must know that he is and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Diligence. Relationship with God demands diligence. Relationship with your spouse demands what? Diligence. If you don't give it time, it will break. Because if there's no diligence, then we have taken each other for granted. And anytime we take each other for granted, we create room for the devil to play both of us. Trust in God. Trust in his word. What must I do? Say salvation is for everybody. But the jailer said that day, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to receive it? And Paul said, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. There is always something to do for the promises of God to come to pass in your life. The rich young ruler, very proud in himself, came to Jesus, Master, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? Jesus looked at him. You see, rich people know something. They know that everything is for sale. Amen? Isn't that true? Even Donald Trump knows. Everything is for sale because they have the money. He came, what must I do? He couldn't use the word, what must I buy? And Jesus said, love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, go and sell all your goods. Give it to the poor and follow me. If that's what the kingdom of God costs. All right, I'll see you later. Maybe, maybe not. The guy went back sorrowful. He couldn't do what it required. God, Jesus knew his heart. He knew that that money was his God. And yet he was looking for the kingdom of God. He says the way is narrow. It's narrow, narrow. It's a narrow path. All the Ephesians won't enter into it. Praise the Lord. Then focus. Focus on the word of God. Even if it's one scripture, you pick in a day and chew on it. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. And meditate. Isn't that what the Bible says? Joshua 1:9. This book of the law shall not depart. It says meditate on it day and night. Meditate. You know? Focus does two things. If you look at a camera that is out of focus, everything there looks blurry, right? Or distorted. The moment is focus, what's the first thing you notice? Clarity. Focus gives you clarity. Focusing on the word of God will begin to give you clarity. And after you catch the clarity, what next? Then you can capture. You can't capture what is not clear to you. And you can't focus. You can't. It can't be clear if you don't focus on it. So your focus on the word of God will give clarity.
an ability to capture the essence of the word of God. Proverbs 4:20-22. My son, attend to my words. Give attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life. The word of God is life to those that find them, and health to their flesh. The word of God is life. Everybody say so. The word of God is life. The word of God doesn't kill. He makes it alive. Give attention to the word. Stop paying attention to all these innuendos and nonsensities that are in the world. That after you pay attention to them, they don't add anything to you. They even subtract from you. Let me tell you a secret. Some of us, the reason why we always have a problem in our sleep, in our dreams, somebody pursuing you, somebody doing this, somebody doing that, it's because of all the junks and the jargons you are put inside you. Amen? When you're about to sleep in the night, the last thing you feast on is likely going to be your dream that night. Focus on the word. The Bible says, Job 22, verse 21 and 22-29. It says, acquaint thyself with him. Acquaint thyself with God. And be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto you. Focus on God. Get closer to God. You will be at peace. That's one thing the word of God does. No matter how troubled you are, if you can spend time with the word of God, suddenly a sense of peace will envelop you. We were praying yesterday, remember? No sooner than we raised the prayer point, wasn't up to a minute or two, we stopped. Why? Because we had the peace of God. That, hey, let's change our prayer point. We're not praying it like that anymore, because the peace of God suddenly overwhelmed. To the extent I began to laugh, because I saw the picture, and then the prayer changed. Acquaint yourself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his word in your heart. Put the word of God inside you. Some of us know the latest songs of, who are the new artists in town now? Don't pretend. Amen. Huh? You want to tell us? You know? There are people like that. No sooner than the song come out, they can sing it verbatim. And when you come to church, praising the Lord, doing Chopman ministry. The day my daughter was getting married, and I saw my two sons, our two sons, I said to my wife, I said, these boys, they are going to be rededicated to Jesus. They have to be rededicated. I can't suffer all this while, and then they get carried away with all that. Sometimes we can miss our way, but guess what? Prayer and by force, we bring you back. I'm telling you. He says, if thou return to the Almighty, if you return to God, thou shalt be built up. If you return to God, you will be built up. Thou shalt put away iniquity from thy tabernacles. When you get home, read the rest from 21 to 29. Another aspect of receiving the promises is putting it in your mouth, confessing the promises. Lord, this is what you said. I receive it. Do you know how words paint pictures? As the words paint pictures, also your life has a way of gravitating towards what your mouth is saying. Hallelujah. Your life follows what you are saying. Your life follows what you are saying. Your life follows what you are saying. Two people are always correct. I can do it. You are correct. I can't do it. You are correct. If you say you can't do it, you are very correct. You won't do it. But if you say you can do it, you will do it. America went to the moon because the president said, we are going to the moon. They didn't know how they are going to go before. Say, we are going. Amen? We are going. We are going to the moon. Let me tell you something that can baffle you now. This whole building, top and bottom, is our children's ministry.
Amen.
That is the original plan. We are borrowing, as we are borrowing downstairs now, very soon we go upstairs and borrow it, then we will start building our own 5,000 seater. I pray you will still be here.
Amen.
I pray you. We will be competing with Senna. My Jesus is bigger than Senna.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Keep confessing the word of God. When my wife and I, we find ourselves in a fix, that's all we do. Just confess the word of God in the place of prayer. Lord, this is what you said. And you know one thing I always remind God? I say, Lord, you know, I was on my own when you came and called me. I didn't tell you I want to come. You are the one who said I should come. So now I am here. You are going to allow this one to happen. You are responsible. He's responsible for it. God is responsible for it. God is responsible. I have to play my part. He will surely play his part. He doesn't fail. Then ignore contradictions. Ignore distractions. They will always come. People will come and question your faith. People who don't like you will even post nasty things on Facebook concerning you. They will talk about you behind your back. They will abuse your mother and your father because they want to catch your attention. And the moment you give them attention, you have lost the battle. Hallelujah. I remember there was a time I got the message. Said some guys in Kansas City said when they see me, they're going to waylay me and beat me up. I said, really? You know what? I'm still waiting for them. It's more than 5 years now. Amen? I'm still waiting for them. Abi, you know, they want to come and beat me. Hey, come now. Praise the Lord. All those are just
unnecessary distractions. The distractions. Romans 4:17 to 21, it says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God, who quickened the dead and called those things which be not, as though they were. That's what a believer does. You start calling it out. But you don't call it on empty. You call it on the word. Faith is acting on the word. Faith is not closing your eyes and jumping. It's acting on the word. Jesus said, Peter said, if you are Jesus, bid me come. The word said, come. And Peter stepped out on the word. No wonder he couldn't sink, because he was walking on the word. The moment he took his eyes away from the word, he went down. Call for those things that are not as though they were. You are believing God for a new job. Get up in the morning. My job, wherever you are, from the east, the west, and the south, come forth. I receive my position. I receive my job in the name of Jesus. The Bible says promotion does not come from the east. It does not come from the west. Promotion comes from God. I'm a child of God. My God is my redeemer. My God is my helper. My God is my shepherd. I call forth my job. I call forth my blessing. It may not happen the first day. It may not happen the second day. But you have already sent it out. It's already working. Hallelujah. It begins to work. It begins to work. If you are stubborn as I am, and keep it there. I heard the testimony of a lady on K-Love. She said the jobs that she's in, she didn't even apply for it. That they just called her. It was somebody who now went to talk about her to somebody else. And they now called her and someone start. And they gave her more money. I prophesied that same thing. Somebody here. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. He says about Abraham, who against hope, against all that was a reality, believed in hope, believed in expectation. He believed, he confessed, and he was expecting it. You know what I tell you? Every day I like to go to the post. Amen? Because I'm always expecting a check in the post. For some reason, I'm always expecting a check. And last week I got one. Amen. For almost $800. Amen? I just got I didn't even know. This was a company I did something with for more than 7 years ago, you know, and I can't remember the qualification of it, but it was $800. I collected it and my bank has cashed it, because you have to go to the bank immediately. I didn't even wait to go to the bank. I used my camera to take the picture, pam 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 pam, sent it, credited. That's all I know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God will give somebody a miracle surprise. Amen. This week in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he rejected contradictions and distractions. He was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead. 100 years old man, 90-year-old woman, still believing for the fruit of the womb. Nobody is 90 here. No woman here is 90.
You see, one thing I know about God is this. If he did it for Dr. Oni, be guaranteed that he will do my own. Because now I have something to hold him, to hold to his face and say, Lord, you remember Dr. Oni, you did it for him. What, why must my own be different? But don't go to God because he did it for somebody, but you don't really need it. That's not how it works. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise. He did not doubt. Oh, he's supposed to doubt the promise of procreation, the promise of fertility, more than a 100 years old man. And a 90-year-old woman. You're not even 60. My regional pastor, I told us last year, his wife is 60-something years old. Last year, they had their first baby. No in vitro anything. Huh? Use your mind, though. The man, 66 or above, was still able to impregnate his wife, 60 years old. Only the power of God can do that. And that's their first child. Don't dare, my God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's one thing you do again. In waiting to receive, worship him, glorify him, honor him. When nobody is there, adore him, exalt him. I recorded my daughter last week, taking her to school, and I just heard her singing. She was singing about her classwork. And Miss So-so and so said, I should do it, but then I can't do it. And then Jesus came, and Jesus showed me how to do it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I recorded it. I had to send it to my wife. Say, look at your composer daughter. You know, that's how we should be. Worship God even when nobody is there. Serving God is not about somebody seeing you. It's about nobody even being there. You don't need anybody's attention. You don't need anybody clapping for you. You don't need anybody appreciating you. You just want to catch the attention of your Redeemer. And be fully persuaded that what he had promised was able. If God said it, he's able to do it. Don't look for another way. Don't look for another way. Wait for him. One thing I know is that it's never too late. He's always right on time. And that time is his time. He's always right on his time. It's never late. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. I enjoin us, brethren, this morning or this afternoon. Do away with unbelief. Unbelief doesn't look well on you. Don't give up. Even when all hope seems to be lost. I shared our testimony with us here. Even at the point of embarrassment, a second to embarrassment, before 8 a.m. in the morning, God decided to show up. What I don't used to do, I just did. You call me, I don't know your phone number, I don't pick. Now, you see 800 number,
before 8 a.m. in the morning. And then I decided to pick it. And it was my blessing on the other side of the... You won't miss your blessing. I say you won't miss your blessing. Don't give up. And the Bible says, do all that God requires you to do. He says, for you have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Hebrews 10:36. Finally, are you ready to fight for the promise? Fighting for the promise is sowing seed for the promise. It's sowing seed for your faith. Some in church can't still fathom that. If I have a pressing need, believe me sincerely, what brings it forth is my seed. Oh yes. Every opportunity I have, bam, 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 bam. I just start. And the answer can come by revelation. Do this. Do that. Or the answer can come by God tapping somebody. This boy will finish me with offering. Go and answer him. It's true. I told us the story of a man of God. I'm closing with this. If you don't get anything from all I've said today, believe me, it's not my fault. The word is recorded. Go back and listen to it. Be like the Berean church. This man of God believed for his son. His wife was pregnant, well advanced, and they had gone to check. Sonogram says it's a girl. Like Prince Will would say, God forbid. He's going to have a boy next. In Jesus' name. Somebody says it's true. Me, I see one. But somebody else is twin too. So there's three then for you. He said, he went to God and said, Lord, I want Joshua. Sonogram said, is Abigail. He said, he want Joshua. He began to sow seed. He made this testimony by himself. He shared it himself. He said he began to sow seed for Joshua. Lord, thank you for my Joshua. Lord, thank you for my Joshua. Lord, thank you for my Joshua. Delivery date. It was Joshua. It was not Abigail. Oh, come on. That can be. Science says. And the biology says. Who wants science? Who wants biology? Praise the Lord. Huh? God can go back there and change the DNA, and change everything. Our youngest daughter, believe me, that girl was supposed to come as a boy. But for the prayers of my wife, that Lord, give me a girl. And I agreed with her. Because let's rise up on our feet. I stand upon the word of God. The word of God is power. I stand upon the word of God. The word of God is power. Oh, I stand upon the word of God. The word of God is power. I stand upon the word of God. Come on, church. Let's say, come on.